welcome. I'm Samantha Grace, the host of Whatever is Lovely, True, and Awesome. I'm excited to bring you episode 20 today. So, all total, I did 18 full episodes. Two of the episodes were when I was reading Peter Pan, and after I did a little bit of Peter Pan, I realized how hard it was going to be working on that all by myself, so I didn't do that anymore. Now I've started introducing mini-sodes where I'm doing lullabies, and that is much shorter and easier to read than Peter Pan. And I'm also going to start doing guided meditations for my mini-sodes as well. So, episode 20, 18 different migraine sufferers. We've gone through the whole gamut: artists, writers, athletes, Olympians, actresses, actors. It affects all sorts of different kinds of people, all different ethnic backgrounds. I'm really excited to keep on digging and find more people. I've kind of exhausted the list of American celebrities. I keep on trying to Google other things, you know, Australian, Chinese, South American, British, German, just trying to go through all the different countries and places, trying to find different resources and people's experiences with migraine. So I'm going to take a little break after this episode, and I'm thinking I'll take at the max 4 weeks before I release another full-length episode. I'm going to continue doing the mini-sodes every week. And I just want to kind of regroup. I really have enjoyed releasing an episode every week. That has been good. It's a lot of work, but I do well with the deadline. So now I want to be able to spend some more time researching and getting a theme together for my episodes. Like I said, I've kind of run to the end of my celebrity profiles, so I need to figure out what else can I talk about that is a nonfiction source, you know, that has to do with migraines. How else can I find people to talk about? So I might be doing some book reviews. I found two books online. One's a children's book and one is a graphic novel. They both feature fictional characters that have migraines. Maybe I'll do that. I've tried to look into movies that have, you know, that are around migraines, and there's just not that many. I tried to watch one on Amazon Prime and it was just so terrible. So I'm open to ideas. If you want to send me any ideas for what I could focus on for the true part of the podcast, you can write me at whateverislovely@att.net. I'm open to that. And let's go ahead and dive into our episode today. Today, my positive news story is about cellist Chekou Kenne Mason. When he was 17 years old, he won the coveted BBC Young Musician of the Year competition. He was the first Black musician to do so. You may have seen him perform at the 2018 wedding of Prince William and Meghan Markle. He also competed on Britain's Got Talent with his six siblings in 2015. They are all musicians. He says appearing on Britain's Got Talent had been, quote, a good experience for getting used to performing in front of lots of people with cameras and interviews. When it came to BBC Young Musician, there were fewer cameras, so I wasn't fazed at all. he was previously a member of the Chinookay Orchestra, a group that was founded by Chi-Chi Nwankwo for minority classical musicians. Quote, Chinookay is a really inspiring project. I rarely go to a concert and see that kind of diversity in the orchestra or in the audience. Having the orchestra will definitely change the culture. It's so important. We're celebrating music by Black composers too, like the piece by Chevalier de Saint Georges we're playing in September. End quote. It sounds like the last couple of years have been very, very busy for him. He was on the cover of GQ, which is a men's magazine. He toured the world performing and at the same time was completing his studies at London's Royal Academy of Music. He recently released his second full-length album in January of 2020. So after Sekou won BBC Young Musician of the Year, his mother told the Financial Times she had always been determined, quote, never to remark on the lack of Black people in classical music to our children. And with the visibility of his public performances, Britain's National Schools Symphony Orchestra reported a 68% rise in youth cellist applications. Kenny Mason also knows how to give back. In 2018, he donated £3,000 to his former school, enough money for 10 students to continue their cello lessons. Sounds like an amazing start to a successful and busy career for a very talented young man. And my sources for this story are classicfm.com, Wikipedia, and readersdigest.com. If you were a preteen or teen during the 90s, you'll be familiar with the person I'm talking about today during the True segment of the podcast. And you'll also know what this woman's twin sister looks like. This is one half of the duo who played twin sisters on the sitcom Sister, Sister. I'm talking about Tia Mowry. As an adult, Tia Mowry went through a health struggle with endometriosis. Quote, I've been very open with telling everybody that I suffer from something called endometriosis, which is a a highly inflammatory condition that causes infertility. So after having two surgeries, her doctor suggested she adjust her diet or the endometriosis would just come back. She says, at first it was hard to adjust to that, but I changed my diet. I started to eat more veggies, to eat more fruits, and to stay away from foods that caused inflammation within the body, which can exacerbate an inflammatory condition. I started exercising, I started meditating, I started taking supplements, and I saw this huge change within my health. I no longer had eczema, I no longer had migraines. Tia Mowry has gone on to publish a cookbook, host a cooking show, and release a vitamin supplement. She says, this cookbook was really personal for me. I wrote this book based on the concept that food can be medicine in its own way, that it can worsen or help with an existing condition. That was my experience, and I'm hoping that writing about it can help others too. So I want to ask you listeners out there, how many of you have tried a food elimination diet? I was diagnosed with migraines when I was around 5 or 6, and the doctor suggested that I not eat chocolate, nuts, MSG, which is monosodium glutamate. That's a preservative that's in a lot of things like Doritos and Cheetos and Rice-A-Roni and some Chinese food. Then we've got, you know, nitrites and nitrates, which is in some different kinds of lunch meat. And, you know, that was honestly very hard for me to follow. I was 5 or 6 when I started, and I gave that diet up when I was 30. I was pregnant with my first child, and I started eating chocolate and started realizing I wasn't getting migraines. You know, this was into my second trimester of pregnancy. And looking back, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it really triggered my migraines. They were very sporadic throughout my youth. It wasn't until I was an adult that they became more of an issue. I just know that when you tell a young child you can't eat this food, they're gonna think about that food more than they would have otherwise. And for me, it turned out to be problematic having those limitations put on me, because that was my only way of controlling my headaches. I went to a neurologist and did not continue treatment with that neurologist. I didn't go back until I was, you know, 23 or so. And when it was the summer of 2018, I tried a gluten-free, sugar-free diet. I got this book. I was like, this is the key. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for it hardcore. And that was very intense. And, you know, at the same time, I was taking a very high dose of Topamax. And the Topamax was melting my brain. But it was taking away some of the anxiety, because it took away my personality at the same time. So I was able to follow a gluten-free, sugar-free diet for a couple of months out of that year. And then I could never get back into it. I tried repeatedly over and over again to get back on the gluten-free, sugar-free. And I ended up just throwing away the book because it wasn't doing anything positive for me. And now, you know, I manage my migraines through my medication. And I'm just wondering what other people's, you know, experiences out there have been. There's, you know, not one perfect fix for everybody, because everybody's migraines are different. And it's so frustrating when, you know, you go to somebody that, some kind of healthcare person who thinks, oh, well, I've got the magic bullet, you know, go to a chiropractor. Oh, I'm going to fix you. No more migraines. You go to somebody who does biofeedback. Oh, we'll take care of this. You know, you go to somebody who does acupuncture. Oh yeah, we're going to, no more migraines. Nope. None of that worked. So I'm not saying they don't have other benefits, you know, but it didn't fix my migraines. And, you know, some people say that each little bit is another part of the puzzle, and then you come to a complete picture with no migraines. But isn't that a frustrating puzzle? Isn't that a puzzle that you just want to smash into pieces and then set on fire and then stomp on? That's how I really feel about that. So, you know, I just wanted to include this. This is one of those people saying that, you know, diet did it for them. Diet killed her migraines. And she has several interviews where she talks about these migraines. And one of them says chronic. Chronic is 15 days or more of migraine a month. I wonder if she is chronic, or if they just said chronic, because for food to cure 15 days or more a month of migraine, wow, that's a blessing. That is amazing to not have to put any drugs into your system to just zap that out. So, you know, the human body, all of us are very different. The human body is so complicated. So I'm not doubting that that can work for people, but I do doubt if she actually is chronic, or if that was a, you know, just a word that somebody was throwing around that they didn't know what that really means in the realm of migraines. So my sources for this segment are tinseltownmom.com. Then we've got yahoo.com, an article by Sasha Strabe, blackenterprise.com, article by Selena Hill, theundefeated.com, an article by Maya A. Jones. This poem is titled Praise Song for the Day, and it's by Elizabeth Alexander, and it says it's a poem for Barack Obama's presidential inauguration, and I found this poem on poetryfoundation.org. Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din, each one of our ancestors on our tongues. Someone is stitching up a hem, darning a hole in a uniform, patching a tire, repairing the things in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere, with a pair of wooden spoons on an oil drum, with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice. A woman and her son wait for the bus. A farmer considers the changing sky. A teacher says, "Take out your pencils, begin." We encounter each other in words, words spiny or smooth, whispered or declaimed, words to consider, reconsider. We cross dirt roads and highways that mark the will of someone and then others who said, "I need to see what's on the other side. I know there's something better down the road. We need to find a place where we are safe. We walk into that which we cannot yet see." Say it plain, that many have died for this day. Sing the names of the dead who brought us here, who laid the train tracks, raised the bridges, picked the cotton and the lettuce, built brick by brick the glittering edifices they would then keep clean and work inside of. Praise song for struggle, praise song for the day, praise song for every hand-lettered sign, the figuring it out at kitchen tables. Some live by love thy neighbor as thyself, others by first do no harm, or take no more than you need. What if the mightiest word is love? Love beyond marital, filial, national. Love that casts a widening pool of light. Love with no need to preempt grievance. In today's sharp sparkle, this winter air, anything can be made, any sentence begun, on the brink, on the brim, on the cusp. Praise song for walking forward in that light. I just want to say thank you again for following me through this journey of the first 20 episodes of the podcast. I'm really excited to see where the next 20 episodes take us. So I will be releasing more minisodes in the next couple of weeks, and just hang on for me to start releasing full-length episodes again. You can always find me on Instagram, whatever is lovely, true, awesome. I'm going to be putting up more episode illustrations, more mantra illustrations, and you can email me at whateverislovely@att.net. Take care of yourself.